The Gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, according to St. John. Listen for the word of the Lord. The next day, Jesus decided to go to Galilee. He found Philip and said to him, "Follow me." Now, Philip was from Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip found Nathanael and said to him, "We have found him about whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus, son of Joseph from Nazareth." Nathanael said to him, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" Philip said, "Come and see." When Jesus saw Nathanael coming toward him, he said of him, "Here is truly an Israelite in whom there is no deceit." Nathanael asked him, "Where did you get to know me?" And Jesus said, "I saw you under the fig tree before Philip even called you." Nathanael replied, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God, the King of Israel." Jesus said, "Do you believe because I told you that I saw you under the fig tree? You will see greater things than these." And he said to him, "Very truly, I tell you, you will see heaven opened and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. Among the countless reasons I love First United Methodist Church in Montgomery, Alabama, is our ability to rise above challenges, our diversity of thought, to think and to let think. Case in point, it happened this past Wednesday, a few minutes prior to our Wednesday evening programming starting back for a brand new year. Many of us had made resolutions to make church a priority, and an announcement broke the headlines. It sent the entire country screeching to a grinding halt. None more quickly than those inside the borders of our great state of Alabama. Maybe you read about it. It was the end of an era. And you could hear gasps. You know what I'm talking about? Sam's Club stopped checking customer receipts upon exit. Bishop, what are we going to do? Pray. That's right. We got to pray. That's right. I thought what makes Sam's, well, a club is I get my card check and then I get my receipt check to verify I am who I am and where I'm supposed to be. And I am part of this club founded by a guy named Sam. But no more receipt checking. That's not the news that broke, is it? No. The earth-shattering news was Nick Saban's retirement. It came shortly after the Sam's announcement. It was shocking to many, and right before Wednesday night programming, I'll just say that, well, our fellowship hall was abuzz with conversations. And I love the conversation. I mean, within 3 minutes of walking in to our fellowship hall for Wednesday night supper, I just wanted some barbecue and curly fries now, right? I was asked first, "Preacher, is tonight's chapel service going to be a lament vigil? Can we light some of those candles like we did at All Saints, you know, as we're mourning?" And then the other question, I turned, and the next question I received is, "Do you have any objection to us rolling one of the magnolias out front?" It was so freeing to answer no to both of those questions. We are not having a prayer vigil for Coach Saban. He retired. He's not dead, right? And we're not rolling any trees, as if. Everyone understood. And you know what happened immediately after that? We sat around the table like Christians do, and we broke bread and laughed, right? The greatest college football coach of all time, in my opinion, retired this week. Some have been sent into a tailspin. Others, breathing sighs of relief, there'll never be another one like him. His medium happened to be football, but I think you could drop him in any Fortune 500 company and he would make it better overnight. That's just the way he is. And it's because he knows how to call and train and get the best from the right people. Call, train, get the best out of the right people. I would never make a Jesus Saban comparison in worship. That would be distasteful and a party foul, right? However, calling and training people for a common mission, well, that sounds pretty gospel. For a couple of weeks now, we're going to look at the first disciples Jesus called. They were not exactly five-star recruits. They were not in the transfer portal. They were not on anyone's huddle film clips. James, they were not up for any name, image, and likeness contracts, at least not the type they would have expected, having been called by the Son of God. Something has to come with that. Royalty, perks, something. And there are a lot of preachers who talk about this prosperity gospel, which is no gospel at all. The name, image, and likeness of Jesus we find is different. The name, image, and likeness called into this new community from the waters of baptism means there will be sacrifice. And we're going to have to be courageous. We're going to serve. It brings about humility. You probably will be shamed, and you might even be abused for it, because that's what happened to the name, image, and likeness of God in Jesus Christ. So basically, Jesus has three of these NIL moments. This is one of them after his baptism, and he rises from the waters, tempted into the wilderness, and he says, "Where should I go next? How about Galilee?" Now, if you're reading closely, and you lay John's gospel alongside Mark's gospel, they read differently at this moment in Jesus' ministry. John tells us that Jesus was led by the Spirit into his next steps of mission and ministry. Mark says he was driven by the Spirit into the wilderness and then into mission and ministry. Sometimes we are driven, and sometimes we are led. It tells us a clue about the type of community and communities into which our baptism calls us. Jesus, filled with the Holy Spirit, was led into mission and ministry, and he had options. Free will, maybe we would say. Go to the epicenter, where all the stuff is moving and shaking. Is that the first place he went? Jerusalem? To the polis? No. He went to the countryside. He went to the countryside. And it's interesting to me, if you stay with the text, John, the one who baptized Jesus, is standing the very next day with two of John's own disciples, and he says, "Behold, there is the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world." And those two disciples, they drop John and they go follow Jesus. And Jesus asks them a question that is so interesting to me. He says to these two disciples, we later learn it's Andrew and Peter, he says to these two disciples, "What are you looking for?" They don't answer the question. They still haven't found what they're looking for, I guess. Instead, they reply with a question. They ask Jesus, "Where are you staying?" And I don't know if that's because they knew Jesus was a homeless guy on the move, or if they knew that answering that question would take more time. We don't know what we're looking for, Jesus. We need some help. The very next thing Jesus said are those three words that you've heard already in worship. Jesus says, "Come and see. Come and see. I'll help you find." I want those words to stay with you. Keep them in mind, because "follow me" and "come and see," they really become the only tools the early church needed for mission and ministry. "Follow me" and "come and see. Set out on this journey with me. Start something new." Those are the connotations of what Jesus is saying. Jesus decided to go to Galilee. He chose Galilee as the pool from which his followers would be called. He chose Galilee, of all places, to reach the sick and the possessed and the broken and the marginalized, and to call those who didn't even have a clue they possessed the skills to be a follower of Jesus. Some of you here today don't know that you possess the exact skills and ingredients that God needs to expand and grow and make a difference for the kingdom of God. Jesus chose Galilee. From Galilee, ordinary people were called to do more than they thought they could ever do. Two stars, they became first-round draft picks. Tax collectors became martyrs for a mission. Fishermen became spokesmen and church planners. Jesus saw something in the first disciples that the disciples didn't see in themselves. Jesus sees something in you that you don't see in yourself. Jesus chose Galilee. He didn't wait for Galilee to come to him. Sometimes we like to be wait for opportunities. We like to be asked for opportunities to serve. But Jesus made the decision to go to Galilee unsolicited, the place where he would begin recruiting for the name, image, and likeness of God Almighty. And what we discovered by the ones he called in today's reading, Philip and Nathanael, we discovered this, that it's not enough to believe in Jesus. Belief alone isn't enough. We have to follow him, become like him. We must be seen as him by the world. Later, the half-brother of Jesus, James, would become a believer. We think after the resurrection, James became a believer. And he tells the church that faith without works is what, church? It's dead. And he says, even the demons believe and shudder. Satan believes in Jesus too. So belief alone falls short for the community that's being built, the communities that are being served, to which we are called by our baptism. It's kind of like pairing orthodoxy and orthopraxy, right belief and right practice. I love the call story here because I love the relationship between Philip and Nathanael. Jesus finds Philip, Philip finds Nathanael, friend finds a friend, and the good news is shared. Friends find friends when there's good news to be shared. Philip was Greek, Nathanael was Jewish. The gospel has a way of bridging all of that and binding people across boundaries. Jesus, Philip, Nathanael they're finding, they're being found, and Philip is just a hoot, I must say. Text says that Jesus found Philip, but the next words out of Philip's mouth are, hey, we found this guy, Messiah. Well, who's finding whom? Like maybe in being found or in finding, we are the opposite. We are being found ourselves. So let's break this down for a second. Philip is found by Jesus and immediately wants to tell his friend about it. When you find Christ at work and feel the presence of Christ in your bones, who do you call? Who will you call? Do you even make that call to share the good news? Because, boy, let's be honest. We certainly will call with some bad news or some gossip in the blink of an eye. What if we did that with the good news of transformative grace happening in lives and through the stories of people seated around you and in our community? Philip needed to tell someone that Jesus of Nazareth, son of Joseph, is the Messiah, and Philip's life was changing. And he couldn't wait to tell someone. What if we couldn't wait to tell someone, Jesus believes in me. He has called me for some reason. He is using me to help him in this world. And if he believes in me, he believes in you, and he calls you, and he wants you, and he chooses you to come and see. And second point along those lines, we don't have to muddle the message about who and what we have found in Jesus Christ. Philip doesn't go into some complicated theological or homiletic excursus on the messiahship of Christ. He just says who he is. You know, oftentimes I hear, it's so hard for me to share my faith or do this witness part of the membership vows. Because what if I'm asked a question about the Bible or theology and I don't know how to answer it? And I say without fail, don't worry about all of that yet. Just tell him, just tell her about Jesus and how Jesus is changing your life. And the thing about Philip, if you stay with his story throughout the Gospels is and into Acts, is that after resurrection, he leads an Ethiopian eunuch to the waters of baptism. Philip is among the first to evangelize to the Gentiles, a foreign missionary, and he keeps the message simple. Jesus died, he was raised again to new life, he chose me, he calls you too. Come and see. This Nathanael fella, he's a little different. His name means God has given. It's a beautiful name. And I want you to keep that in mind because God has given Nathanael a terrible poker face, a bit of impulsiveness, some integrity and honesty, an open mind and some genuineness, though. Nathanael is one of those that kind of blurts out and then realizes the person is standing behind him when he's saying all of these things, you know, speaks before thinking maybe. And also, Jesus never actually met Nathanael, but he knew he wanted him on the team. He had seen the long-range scouting report. It's a sight unseen recruitment visit because Jesus can read people's heart. And the thing about Nathanael is he was honest enough to ask hard questions. Can anything come out of Nazareth that is good? I don't know what that says, if that's a classism kind of statement or what. You can pull it apart however you want. Can anything good come out of Nazareth, really? Well, my preaching professor at Emory, Dr. Tom Long, he tells a story about spending the summer up at their place in the Chesapeake area and on the peninsula separating Maryland and Delaware across the Chesapeake Bay from Baltimore, Washington, D.C. And there's a small, unassuming, unincorporated town of Bucktown, Maryland. It's lost on a map. It's lost in the swamps. It sits there, Bucktown. It's a map dot that few of us are ever likely to visit or about which we know much. But Bucktown has a historical marker which reads, "The Moses of her people, Harriet Tubman of the Bucktown district, found her freedom for herself and some 300 other slaves whom she led north. In the Civil War, she served as a nurse, a scout, and a spy." Can anything good come out of Nazareth? Yep, a Messiah did. Can anything good come out of Bucktown? Yes, an underground railroad, liberation, courage did, freedom did. The great spirituals of our faith became a coded language sealed forever in the collective voices of the African-American peoples. Go down, Moses. Tell old Pharaoh, let my people go. Yes, God can accomplish world-changing movements from the most unlikely places. The smallest churches, households, means, motivations, through unassuming people with complicated stories or no stories at all, those who have oodles of talent or more faith or less faith and more fear. Those are God's preferred ingredients for starting a movement. And if you think about it and boil it down, Jesus called Philip and Nathanael, and here we are 2,000 years later, right? What could God do with two-by-two ministry this year, in the next 3 years? What if each of us chose to reach one more? How seriously do we want to take the call and the covenant of our baptism this year? Because baptism will not allow us to rest idly. There are Phillips and Nathaniels waiting to be tapped here and all across our city. And rather explaining all of this away, Philip told Nathanael, "My friend, you're just going to have to come and see. You're going to have to come and see it to believe it for yourself." There's that phrase again. You see, when Jesus' invitation becomes our motivation, we become a congregation without limitation. Now that rhymes and it works. Okay? So you should say amen to that. Follow me. Come and see the transformative work. It's happening here inside and outside these walls every single day. The dream continues in our capital of dreams. Come and see, hear how broken spirits are transformed into wings of praise and how Christ is leading us into every zip code of our city and into over 25,000 households every single week through that 3-inch lens right there. Come and see. When invitation becomes our motivation, this congregation has no limitation. I say that about you all a lot, actually, about our church. I say it when traveling around town and around the country, and even when I've traveled abroad, that you're going to need to come and see it to believe it. Because if you think the sanctuary is beautiful, as Bishop Duffy used to say, and I believe, you ought to meet the people. The thing we are rising together to do, to overcome, to accomplish, it's only possible because of who Jesus is, if we come and see. You remember during Advent, we did that beautiful little thing called the Adventure, and some of you took that on. We had daily exercises for you to experience Advent. Do you remember this? We finish a lot quicker if somebody says yes. Right. No, I'm kidding. Yeah, Adventure. We had daily email reminders of we're going to do these things. One of them was to leave a card in the hymnal for the person next week. And just a couple of weeks ago, there was a young adult family and their child who came out the door and said, "I found this lovely note in one of the hymnals and I wanted to share it with you." It says, "No matter when this note might be found, I'm so glad you are either a member of my church family or visiting with us. God is doing something special with us and you are a part of that. Blessings in the name of Jesus Christ." Isn't that powerful? Come and see. Come and see for yourselves what Christ is doing here. It's invitational. If you're a guest with us, you come at the right time. I can't wait for you to see the hope and the joy and the resiliency and the vibrancy that's happening. We've We're taking a come and see approach to 2024. Because by our baptism, we're called into something new. The newness of community, a new belief, a new way, a new authority, a new life. By the one who makes all things new. Come and see. Can anything good come from small places and unknown faces? Yes. When the Holy Spirit is involved, change is inevitable. We change. We bring change. You're going to want to experience that for yourself when you come and see. One of my goals this year is to do something new and different from anything I ever thought I would do in this role. I shared it with a few friends and some of our key leaders in the church. I love our city so much, and it has reared me since elementary school all the way through college. It has educated me, it's fed me, it's trained me, it's given me the tools I need for life. It's been a sanctuary for me through many storms, and I'm so committed to giving back to the city that has given so much to me. And so I am adopting personally a come and see approach by taking new residents, new visitors, especially new members to this church in the coming weeks. I plan to offer occasions for those newer members to take a brief city of the tour with me, because I want you to come and see not only what God is doing here, but what is happening in our city and what God is doing. So we're kind of go and see. But I want you to come with me to see what God is doing and where I believe, beyond explanation, Jesus of Nazareth, son of Joseph, the Messiah, is at work in our city. I want you to come and see Valiant Cross Academy and how Dexter Avenue continues to march a movement of transformation. Bishop Brian wrote a wonderful article about that for the Alabama West Florida Conference. I hope you found it, having served there back in the 80s. Thank you, Bishop, for making that connection. I want you to come and see that. There's a bright spot continuing. There's a beacon of hope on Rosa Parks with Metropolitan United Methodist Church and the Beacon Center, serving hundreds of families every single day. I want you to come and see that. I want you to come and see what Pastor Ken Austin is doing at Mercy House. He celebrated his 65th birthday yesterday, and we're all trying to keep up with Ken at 65 years old. You know, he's just running. Same is true of Hope Inspired and Reality and Truth and Friendship Mission. I want you to know the amazing things that are happening at Huntington College and at Alabama State University, and we sit right in between both of these fine institutions. I want you to come and see what God is doing all around us, because it's transforming lives. It's changing stories. It's bringing hope. It's giving joy. I want our newer members in our church to come and see. I want us to come and see what has transpired at One Court Square and at EJI on Commerce and the Memorial on the Hill and the Wright Brothers Overlook and Old Ship Zion. And oh, it's going to be beautiful. I want you to come and see that these are a few of my favorite things. Because here's the last thing. I know people are struggling. I know people are looking for answers and how to get through this thing called life. I know people are broken. They're looking for a new start and a new church as new residents or longtime residents. They're looking because it's a new year and many don't know where to begin. So all I can say is that the real and present power of Jesus Christ is moving here and in our city. So come and see. Come and see. We all need more than a borrowed faith. Don't take my word for it. Just come and see it for yourselves. Because at the end of the day, every day, honestly, our job, your job and mine, is not to have an answer for every single question. It's not even to stress out about having over a piece of an answer. Our one job, you know that saying, you have one job. Our one job is to point people to Jesus. Come and see. And when one takes up our invitation, what we discover is what we've known all along. Jesus finds us in that place. And we are found in that moment. I shared this last week. That's the assurance that we all need, and that's the new belief into which we are called, that you're known to Jesus and by Jesus. There's nothing you can do to change that. You might as well come and see for yourself. And I shared a quote by Frederick Buechner. He says, a Christian is one who points to Christ and says, I can't prove a thing, But there's something about his eyes, and there's something in his voice, and there's something about the way he carries his head and his hands, and the way that he carries his cross, and there's something about the way he carries me. Tell someone about the ways that Jesus carries you, and then tell them to come and see. Come and see. We'll be found and carried together in this journey. This new year by the one who is making all things new. To the glory of God. Amen.